This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I'll throw the football questions out first, and then we'll get to baseball and basketball. But from what you've seen, or maybe what you haven't seen from the spring drills, I was looking at the offensive line set up, the first team unit. Man, this looked like the exact sort of same unit that started against Baylor. When you look at Tyree Adams and Weston Davis at the tackles, DJ Chester's playing center, Paul Mabinga is playing right guard, Bo Bordelon left guard. And so it almost looks like the exact same lineup. Now, I know they're waiting on Thompson to get cleared because I think he's got a little bit more work to do academically to finish at Northwestern. Is that the reason why he's not there?
Yeah, Mike, they're on quarter system, so he graduates. Hold on, I got the date. Hold on. He graduates Saturday. So I'm assuming, Mike, he'll be in here next week at some point.
When you look at spring drills, I think that's certainly everybody wants to sort of take a look at the beef up front, and you got to build up both sides because there's a talent and then talent depth. You're always going to lose guys up front. What's the area that concerns you other than, say, offensive and defensive line? Because, you know, we can rule that. We always got concerns about that, you and I. But other than the line of scrimmage, what else is the major concern for you on LSU in the spring?
Just to quickly add, Mike, to your point on the O-line, Brian Kelly did say today a little that he did confirm that he thought DJ would move to guard, DJ Chester, so that'll be interesting to see what happens. Does Braylon Moore move in there? I think that that's all going to change, you know, sometime next week. Mike, today for me, it's got to be safety. I don't think it was pretty. I don't think it was pretty at all. I just feel like they're just getting out-athleted. I don't know how else to really put it. I'm not going to say that they just don't have guys because, Mike, it got bad today. I mean, in the brief period that they ran one-on-ones or a brief 7-on-7, it just – I mean, I get it. Chris Hilton, Berrien Brown, who, by the way, Berrien Brown, holy moly. I mean, I get that there's a lot of speed, but, Mike, I don't know if the guys that are there right now are ready. And so hopefully they can get them ready. But safety for me has got to be the biggest concern from a tackling standpoint. But even Mike today, I mean, like, even from a coverage standpoint, man, I mean, it's not as if – I mean, they're running quarters, okay? where it was the defense, and then you're going four verts. And so the linebackers sit because Bauer Sharp's on a stick or a quick slant, whatever you want to, whatever he was running, I couldn't really tell. And they're just getting beat deep. And, Mike, and they're in quarters coverage. And I think, for me, that just goes to show, I think, a little bit some of the things that they've been working on at that position. Lance Guidry was working with the star position. I do think that that was a little bit interesting with Charles Ross. But overall, Mike, I think it's got to be safety for me, just considering how it was played last year and then going out there today. It's like, Mike, if you have a concern – about something and you go back out there 6 months later or 5 months later and it's still a concern for you, I mean, I don't know what to say, but that's probably the position group that worries me the most.
And we'll swing it to baseball now with Jared Jones. And we know he's taken a lot of walks this year, but I got a feeling he's going to be taking quite a few walks. I mean, you just see that swing and it's like, holy moly. Now, we'll see how that transfers when you start in SEC play, but we continually bring his name up because, you know what, he's been impressive. Every time you watch him swing the bat.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Mike, a lot of people say that we need somebody behind him to protect him, like Danny Dickinson, who's been really good. But, Mike, what I think is actually in this 12-game winning streak, what I really think has been helping is more of Curiel in front of him. Because what are you going to do? Curiel leads the SEC in walks at the current moment with 20-plus. So if you pitch around Jared Jones, well, then you're going to have no outs, two guys on. And you have a guy in Curiel who, look, in two of the last five games, got on base and like both times, five times apiece in those two games. Then he did what he did last night where he just absolutely torched the ball. And by the way, Xavier's played – Mike, think about this. The number one strength of schedule in the country. They have the number two RPI in the country. They played a lot of tough teams. They played them somewhat variably close. I mean, look, they did get swept by Vandy. But, like, even that Saturday game, it's 1-1 going in the top of the ninth on Saturday. So I think that even from Jared Jones, Curiel's ability, Mike, the guy that I think that's got the best decisions or makes the best decisions at the plate since Dylan Cruz on this team has been Curiel. The walks are there. The swings that he does not take on balls, he leads LSU in that. So even with Jared Jones, and I think, Mike, that has been why teams have had to throw at him, and he's been absolutely tattooing the baseball. And then you do have Dickinson behind him. But he's been really hot. And Mike, they're going to go as he goes in the top of that lineup. But even having Stanfield at the nine hole to when it goes back around, I mean, this team presents a lot of problems for a lot of teams. Now, again, I don't know what you see with Missouri this weekend, but like you said, going into SEC play is going to be challenging.
Before we get into Mizzou, I wanted to ask you, Blake, it feels like LSU's starting to find their third baseman. And Tanner Reeves, he hits the grand slam this past night. But since basically the turn of the calendar to March, he's seen about two-thirds of his at-bats. Like, he's starting to get a lot more playing time at the hot corner. And he's been really solid, especially at the plate, over the last five games, going 7-14, five runs, two doubles, two homers, including that grand slam from last night, and eight RBI. He's been really, really solid for LSU. I know that Michael Braswell kind of started out with that role, but, I mean, you got to play the best player, and it seems like Tanner Reeves is looking to take that spot.
Yeah, you know, he does worry me at third. I mean, this is, you know, he's had five assists, but he's also had three errors in that time frame. And look, I mean, you're replacing somebody in Braswell who's been playing, ironically, good defensively, with a guy that's at the plate, like you said, I mean, who's been scorching hot. I mean, you got to play him, right? I mean, and even when you're talking about the seven outs that they had and the 7-14, so you could walk through them. What were they? Well, he had two line drives into center field that got caught. One of them was a 107 off the bat. That's ridiculous. Then he hits a line drive into right field. So even when he's coming up and he's getting out, it's the way that his outs, he's got loud, loud, loud outs, right? And so, look, he's killing the ball. I mean, his bat speed is ridiculous, and that's when we were just talking about just a second ago. I mean, the simple fact that you have an eight-hole, that's your eight-hole hitter. I mean, like, that is ridiculous. So, I mean, that to me He's definitely put a stamp on it. Think about this, too. They have not changed the lineup other than righty-lefty matchups here and there and Ethan Fry coming in. They haven't changed anything. I mean, it's been the exact same. So you got it going into SEC play, and I think Tanner Reeves, unless you face a lefty, which, I mean, look, I think he's 0-for-3 against lefties this year, not a lot of sample size, but, I mean, look, he's killing the baseball right now.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, and in the bottom half of the lineup as well, Jade talked about it last night. Jake Brown going 3-of-3 last night. He's been, you know, quietly very good this year. And we always focus on the top five because it's you have Derek Curiel and you have Jarrett Jones, you have Daniel Dickinson and Josh Pearson and Stephen Milam, and that's been really solidified up top, as you mentioned, at the bottom, kind of with the Reeves and Stanfield kind of pushing over to that top of the lineup, and that's why you get 17 runs in three innings this past night. But Jake Brown has been really quietly solid, and Jay talked about it post game where he mentioned he likes the quote unquote nobodies hitting six, because if you overlook them, then all of a sudden you start to get some guys on base, and then you get into that sort of swing at the bottom end of the lineup into the top half. So you know, your evaluation of Jake Brown and what you've seen from him so far?
Just overall solid, just an overall great player. I mean, to your point, I mean, like, he came into the game yesterday as an example. I mean, he's hitting over 350. I think he's hitting 375 now. I mean, you got Tanner Reeves who's hitting over 300. And think about this, in this 12-game win streak that you're on, let's run through – I mean, you could run through the Kansas State game. How did that go on? Well, Pearson comes in late in that order, right? Then you had Stanfield that got the single right before that. Then he steals. Then the line drive gets him to third, right? I mean, even Hernandez too. I mean, I do think Hernandez will pick it up some as it goes on. I do think that even he will pick it up. But Brown has kind of been that solidifier where, look, you feel like you're getting a breath when you go back to the bottom lineup, but you're not. I mean, he's been as solid as anybody in any of these games. I do think, for me, is with Jake Brown, it's, you know, look, he hadn't hit a home run. I mean, like, people always get enamored by the power. The thing with me is he struck out two times in 40 and 50-plus plate appearances. That, to me, is more ridiculous than anything. So the outs, he's still putting the ball in play. He's not striking out. He's really good to contact. And that, for me, has been where he's been really good. Now, again, you're going into SEC play, but he's been absolutely ridiculous. You got a 452 or 450 on-base percentage. I mean, it's been absolutely ridiculous.
Blake, as you mentioned, going into SEC play this week, and you know, most people that we've had on have talked about Missouri being the worst team in the SEC. Now, that, I mean, you look at how they rank with 12 in the top 25. So that's really not a bad thing to be. But kind of give us a little bit of a scouting breakdown of Missouri if you've seen them. And what could give LSU some trouble this weekend?
Oof. Mike, only way LSU has problems is if they create their own problems. Missouri is not good. I mean, they're not. Look, this is baseball, and anything can happen. So if you lose one game this weekend, don't freak out. But this team, Mike, they're last in the SEC in ERA. They're last in the SEC in batting average. They're last in the SEC in on base percentage. They're last in the SEC in home runs. They're last in the SEC in extra base hits. I mean, that's how bad they've been. They're dead last. They're 16th in every single category. But Mike, you know, they're Missouri to me, and we'll talk about like on our show tomorrow. A pretty big dive on them. They're like me on a diet around brownies. It ain't gonna work, right? It gets to a point where Mike, again, it's baseball and anything can happen. Okay, and I'm not saying that it can't, but you got to go out there and play your game, and then you'll be fine. Look, Mike, they went into a weekend where they played three different SWAC opponents. No disrespect to the SWAC. They lost 2 of 3, right? And that's the part where I'm like, man, this is getting really bad. They even admitted that they didn't, you know, their administration admitted on, like, they had not put a lot of resources into baseball. And, Mike, they're that bad. I mean, again, anything can happen, but I just don't I really feel like you need to go in here expecting a sweep. Again, you can beat yourself, and you can go in there thinking that if you're a player too. But I don't know where they scare me. They don't scare me on the mound. They don't necessarily scare me at the plate. There's nothing they can do, and I love Tierg to death. Their head coach, he was at Southern. I just don't know if they have enough to even take one this weekend. They have been that bad. Now again, crazier things have happened. I mean, literally. We saw the year that we won the national championship, LSU won the national championship. Tulane start off as bad as they did. Then they go in there, they win the tournament, and then, look, they hit schemes better than anybody on that Friday night. Sure so did. Anything can happen, but they have been really bad to start off the non-conference.
Blake, Mark Etheridge for D1 Baseball came on here with us a couple days ago. I think it was Monday. It was right before the Xavier game because we got a preview of it from him. And he mentioned that in SEC play, like or in SEC just in general, there's 15 teams with postseason aspirations, and then there's Mizzou. Like, you have the 12 teams in the top 25, and then even outside of the top 25, you still have some good teams that are going to be trying to position themselves to make it to regional play. Mizzou's just not in that number. But my question for you, final question, kind of entering SEC play, the weekend rotation, where you have Cade Anderson on Fridays, Anthony Ianson, who got off to a slow start last week and then just mowed down North Alabama for 6 straight innings with 15 strikeouts, and then Chase Shores, you know, it feels pretty solidified entering SEC play. Connor Ware's kind of, I don't want to say, had a couple of tough showings recently. William Schmidt, I think, is going to be a bullpen piece kind of early on the weekends. That's why he only pitched one inning last night in SEC play. So I just want to get your thoughts on the strength of, you know, the rotation in your eyes entering conference play.
Yeah, inconsistent for me. I mean, like, at least the way that I see it, either they're dominating, like legitimately dominating. I mean, you can go back to Nebraska and Kansas State. Either they're dominating through 3 or 4 innings, or the doors are falling off, right? And, I mean, I do love with Anthony Ianson, like this past Saturday, he gets rocked around a little bit, okay, and then he comes back and he strikes out, 13, because he'd already had 2 strikeouts. I mean, I don't think that the guy's pulse, like, raises any. You know, but at the same time, I mean, Shores comes in on Sunday. He has a little bit of inconsistency, throwing some strikes. I'm really interested to see when now you're getting into conference play, you know, like, hey, how does that – do you pick that up any – does that get any better? I mean, you've gotten touched a little, okay? Now you've been able to, outslug some of these teams, but, like, it almost manifested itself against Kansas State. It almost manifested itself – well, it did manifest itself a little – in Omaha, when you just couldn't throw strikes in that 5th inning. So, look, I like what they've done through 3, 4, 5 innings. It's been when you need to lock down and get a big out, big couple of outs there in the 5th and 6th inning, where I do think that they've had some struggles. But they've been solid. I just would like to see a little bit more consistency from them. And I know, look, you can't have everything perfect, but I mean, it's just, you know, I personally, for me, I got to see a little bit more consistency.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us. Don't break Charlie's heart.
No problem. Tell
me that LSU got a chance tonight against Mississippi State, because, you know, Charlie, man, it'll break his heart if they don't win tonight.
Listen, man, the first time they played, it was pretty tight.
No, they did play
when
them
they played
a good game.
A couple weeks ago, it was March 1st, LSU was right there with Mississippi State in the first half. But the second half, Josh Hubbard, 30-point performance, he kind of outdueled Cam Carter, and they pulled away.
Well, here's the thing. LSU's leading at every damn halftime. I take LSU at the half every time, okay? Okay, because that's
you can't bet on that.
I pay my mortgage this month.
You can't bet.
But
you can't bet on.
And look, we're going to be live during it, so they're probably going to win. That's what normally happens, you know? I'm sorry. I don't. We come on now. Take them in the first half. They're the best first half team in the SEC. They lead every time going into the half.
Thank you, Blake. I'm on the line right now, ready to place that bet
there
as we go to the break. Thank you, Blake. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See y'all later.
Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.